Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
And welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, filling in for Grace, who's got a much-deserved day off. And I am co-owner of Cape Gunworks down on Cape Cod and Hyannis. And if you haven't been there, check us out. Or you can go online to capegunworks.com and check us out. And we would be happy to help with any gun-related question you might have, including, is a gun right for me? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. So, but we'd be happy to help you with that. Licensing and shooting and buying, all in the same place, one-stop shopping. So there you have it. We do have a poll question today. Jared, why don't you tell us what the poll question is and what are the results?
All right, we are trying to settle the debate once and for all, we say jokingly. So here's the question. What are you taking? Are you taking the 9mm or the 45?
That's right. What are you taking? For me, it's a 9mm. But what are the results?
Right now, the 9mm is ahead 53% to 47%.
Oh, it's edging it out. It's coming up. All right. Well, I figured it would be close poll, so there you have it. And today's poll question is brought to you by none other than Cape Gunworks, where we have more guns and ammo in stock right now than in the history of Cape Gunworks. So visit us this weekend in Hyannis or at capegunworks.com. All right. Thank you for that. And as promised prior to the break, I told Russ we would come back to him. He has held on. Russ, how are you doing today? Welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Very good, Toby. It's always nice to speak to someone that firmly believes in the Second Amendment. God bless you.
Thank you.
So, this is the $64,000 look in the crystal ball question that I have for you.
All right.
Let's say that Charlie Baker decides not to run. Mm-hmm. If he does not, more than likely, Mara Healey is going to throw her hat in the ring. And she may very well become the next governor of Massachusetts. Now, we know she doesn't believe in the Second Amendment. We know she's already pulled that scam by taking away our rights to purchase AR-15s. And I'll tell you, Toby, I never saw anything in my life, I'm 74 years old, how within a 24-hour period, our right was taken away from us. And unfortunately, there was no recourse because we live here in the Socialist Republic of Massachusetts. So the question that I have for you, if she does become the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, what can we expect that she's going to do to try to take more of our Second Amendment rights away from us? And what do we do to combat it if that should happen?
It's a good question, Russ. I appreciate the call. And here's what my opinion of the matter is. The last bit of legislation that has come up for vote in Massachusetts that's made it to the full floor vote that is significant gun control legislation has been signed by every of the governors, you know, from Mitt Romney to Charlie Parker to Deval Patrick. There's none of them have not signed gun control legislation into law. So Republican, Democrat, whatever. We all know Maura Healey definitely has a predilection to banning guns and restricting our law-abiding, you know, our Second Amendment constitutional rights. So I just don't suspect that she would do any different. So I don't know that it would impact the state that much, other than right now the fight is in the legislature, and that's why I'm a firm believer you should join Gun Owners Action League, send some money to COM2A, and all the groups that are putting the money where the mouth is, like Firearms Policy Coalition, Second Amendment Organization, Gun Owners of America, that can fund and help these lawsuits that are challenging this tyrannical laws that are being passed. So yes, that would be a very unfortunate event if she did become governor. But the good news is the last attorney general who ran on the gun control platform, Scott Harshbarger, which really started the mess that we're in, the quandary that we're in as far as Massachusetts is concerned with our Consumer Protection Act and the approved firearms roster and the Attorney General's list that doesn't exist of safety features that your gun needs to have and blah, 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 all started with Luther Scott Harshbarger. And since he used that platform to run for governor, the people said no, even in Massachusetts. So hopefully the same thing would happen if Maura Healey decides to run for governor. I don't know that to be true. You never know, but that's my hope. We live in hope. We have to cling to something in this state. And fortunately, we haven't seen real substantial gun control legislation come down the pipe in a while. And I think we're at a Mexican standoff. We're not necessarily gaining our rights back either, which will happen in the court system if we make up some ground. But I think this New York Pistol and Rifle Association case that is before the Supreme Court is a very important case this fall. So hopefully we'll see that, some movement on that. And the White House filed an amicus brief on that, as well as 152 legislators. They all kind of jumped in on the bandwagon saying to the Supreme Court, don't do anything about the New York Pistol and Rifle Club case. Like, we need to be able to restrict people's right to keep and bear arms. We need to be able to ask them for a legitimate reason on why they need to exercise their right to keep and bear arms. And, you know, so make sure you just maintain the status quo on that and allow governments to restrict people's ability to, you know, exercise their Second Amendment rights. Which is unfortunate. We knew the White House was going to do that, but, you know, 152 congressmen signed on to that as well. So there you have that. But that's what we do. We live in hope that somehow, some way, these things will make their way to the Supreme Court and we'll have some significant movement. Because I've said it before, but elections do have consequences. And those are oftentimes decades-long battles that cost millions of dollars to get our rights back. Good for the country, the states that are doing the whole constitutional carry and whatnot. That's been working out great. So, Justin, you're next on the Grace Curley Show with Toby Leary. How are you today?
How's it going? Greetings from the South Shore of the People's Republic of Massachusetts.
That is true. Thanks for calling.
The issue down here seems to be, I've had an FID card for over 20 years now, and it seems to be a recurring theme where every time I go to renew the permit, I'll say, hey, what about upgrading this? Because when I initially got the FID over 20 years ago, I wasn't old enough to get an LTC. So now that I'm well, almost 40 at this point, I could get an LTC if the cops would give you the LTC. But they continuously say, oh, I don't think you need it. The chief doesn't want to give it to you. He'll renew your FID, but we don't want to give you that one. So they're basically saying, you can be trusted with these kinds of guns, but we don't trust you with those. And about close to 10 years ago now, I was told by some guys at the gun club about this so-called bulldog gun lawyer. Give this guy a call. He'll take care of this for you. Went over and spoke to the guy. He rolled his eyes and said, yeah, this is a recurring theme. This happens all the time. Give me X amount of money. We'll take care of it. Threw the guy the money. The guy made a couple of phone calls, and then next thing I know, I'm not hearing from the guy. I suddenly, about a month later, get a call from a different lawyer. Says, hi, I'm taking the case over for so-and-so. He's having some issues right now. And then I find out a few months after that that supposedly this guy lost his license. Mm. Never saw the money, never saw the gun permit, and I still only have an FID card. And it seems like unless somebody goes in there and gets in their face and tells them you're going to give them this card or else, they're not going to give you an LTC in this town. And the cops basically told me 20-some-odd years ago, you don't bleeping need it. And he said it right to my face. He swore right in my face, you don't bleeping need it. You're going to take what I give you or else you're not getting anything.
Yeah.
And that's basically the mentality in this town is, we run the town, and you do as we say, and if you don't like it, you can move. And I'm looking for a house in New Hampshire. Ultimately, I'd like to move up there. And if I did move up there and I were to renew my permit in Mass as an out-of-state non-resident permit, they would automatically upgrade it to an LTC anyway. So what's the problem with just upgrade it to an LTC now and give me an LTC and change it? They won't do it.
All right, so here's what you want to do, Justin. I can understand the predicament you're in. And 20 years ago, that was the way that it was. Nowadays, we are in a shall issue, state. Some things have changed, so now it is a shall issue situation. So apply for the LTC. Don't ask. Just apply for it. You have a right to get it. There's no reason for them to deny you if you're not a prohibited person. And then if they do deny you, now you can appeal it. but you can't do anything until you get a denial written. And they're not going to deny you now. They might say all that to keep you from applying, but they know you can appeal it. So you're going to get the license if you're not a prohibited person. So I would just say, stop asking and start applying, and then document everything. And if you don't end up getting it, then you should get a good lawyer like Attorney Keith Langer or Jason Guida, and they will certainly help you appeal it. But you want to keep everything in order, keep all your ducks in a row. And if after 40 days they haven't issued the permit, you start to, you know, document it. And before 90 days elapses, you want to make sure that you appeal your denial, because if they don't respond within 90 days, they've effectively denied you. But then you can start the appellate process. So you can get it. I promise. Sometimes you do have to fight a little bit, and that is what launches some people to move to New Hampshire or Maine or Vermont or North Carolina or Florida. And I get that. And that's the sentiment, when you shouldn't have to explain why you need your gun permit. Like, it's a right. It's an enumerated right in our Constitution. So thanks for the call, Justin, but that is what I would advise. And go ahead and apply for it. Don't wait. Just do it today. And if they make you take the class, just get the class out of the way and do that as well. But that's what I would say. There's no other enumerated right in our Constitution where you need to jump through such hoops. Like, if you say, hey, I'm going to church on Sunday, and you know, that somebody says, oh, well, you can't just go to church on Sunday. You got to take a class. You're going to have to sign up, pay $100. You're going to go to this class. They're going to tell you which church you can do and, you know, how you got to act in church and what, you know, where you can exercise that religious belief. You know, there's places you can, places you can't. And, you know, pay that fee, go do that. Then once you're done with that, they'll give you a certificate at the end of the class. You can take that certificate down to your local PD and you can go ahead and, you know, apply there and pay $100 and get fingerprinted and photographed. It's crazy. No other right is like that. Jared, why don't you tell us about the Eden Pure, because I can smell it in here and it smells wonderful. And I never even knew you painted yesterday. So that's amazing.
Yeah. The building decided that, they're doing a whole freshening up of the paint, repairing walls and stuff like that. Yesterday was our turn, which is great. Looks very nice. Like I said, I think it's like a dusty marigold color, but, it smelled like paint. And we of course had the VIP yesterday for winning Woker Joke come in, and you get the Aviva lunch, and we don't want the VIP eating in the middle of paint fumes. So what we did is we plugged in the Impure Thunderstorm, and even with paint fumes, the smell was gone within an hour, because what it does is once you plug it in and you turn it on, it's all you have to do. You plug it into your wall outlet, you turn it on, it sends out the ions, it creates a super oxygen, which gets rid of the allergens, the pollutants, all that stuff, and you're breathing that nice clean air, odor-free clean air. It just got rid of it, which was fantastic. And if you want to have nice, clean air in your house, you need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, which is a special for Grace Curley listeners. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on Grace's name, put in the code word GRACE3 at checkout. That's Grace and the number 3 at checkout, and you will get 3 units for under $200, and you'll save $200. Other units can cost up to $600. They're bulky. They've got filters and cords, blah, 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 all this stuff you just don't want to deal with. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on Grace's name, and put in the code word GRACE3 at checkout to get 3 units for under $200 and save $200, and jump on this deal because it ends on Sunday. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on Grace's name and use the code word GRACE3 at checkout.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, and thank you for listening. So we're having some fun this afternoon, and you know, I'm going to read a text and then I'm going to go right to the call. So Sanford, hang on for a sec. But this texter 978 says, this isn't the Grace Show at all. This is the Toby Show. Where's Holly? And that's hurtful, 978. I thought you'd be highly entertained by the Toby Show, but I guess not. So Holly will fill in at some point. She does a phenomenal job. But anyway, got to spread it around every once in a while. Maybe Holly was busy and I'm the the guest of the guest. Who knows? You never know. But anyway, we appreciate you guys tuning in. And Sanford, you're next on the Grace Curley Show with Toby Leary, who should be sitting in for Holly, I guess, or something like that. So go ahead, Sanford.
Hey, Toby, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
No problem.
I had a question for you. So as someone who's an LTC holder in Massachusetts and has lived outside of state in Maine before and owns some pistols that are not on the quote-unquote approved list of Massachusetts, can I carry those pistols legally even though they're not on the approved list?
Oh, that's a great question, Sanford, because there is a lot of confusion about this. And I've had people come to my gun store to trade guns in that weren't on the Mass approved weapons roster saying, I can't have it in Mass. I can't have it in Mass. And that's not true. You can absolutely own any gun you want if you have it already. You buy it in Maine, you move to Massachusetts, or if you're now currently living in Maine or somewhere abroad and you have a Mass non-resident license to carry, you can absolutely carry that gun here in Massachusetts, as long as you don't have high capacity magazines. So you're limited, unless they're pre-ban, of course. If they're pre-94, you can have those too. But so there's no law against owning any particular gun. There's only law against me as a licensed gun shop selling you that gun. So if you move here with a gun that's not on our roster, you don't have to sell it or surrender it or, you know, sell it out of state, unless it's a assault weapon. And you can't, and I use those words loosely, you know, quote unquote, assault weapon, but you definitely can carry and own any gun you want that, you know, even if it's on the list or not. So that's a common misconception about ownership of firearms in this state. So yeah, no problem at all there, Sanford. So that's a great question. All right, Jerry, we'll go to you next. You're from Framingham. Let's hear it, Jerry. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Toby. We've spoken before. I talked to you shortly after acquiring my first handgun, a Fabrique Nationale 9mm, because I had some questions about the action, and you were mentioning the trigger pull and that it's one of the few, I can't recall the phrase used, 9mm pistols on the market. But anyway, I've used it a couple of times at the range. It's a great gun. But one of the things that I've never been instructed on, whether it be, you know, in any of my classes or at the time of purchase, was cleaning and maintenance of the weapon.
Sure.
So all my questions are in that genre. Is there a recommended, you know, after 10 rounds, 100 rounds, 1,000 rounds, you should dismantle and clean? And are there classes that will assist you? And my fear is that I'm going to take it apart for the first time and go, uh-oh, I can't get this thing back together.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's my fear. Are there classes? Are there videos? How do you teach yourself the proper maintenance and cleaning of your firearm?
This is where the YouTubes are your best friend. So you can go on YouTube and there's a million different videos and tutorials on that. We actually do offer a gun control, oh gosh, a Freudian slip there. We offer a gun cleaning class at Cape Gunworks where people, you know, about once a month, our gunsmith actually will come out and work with you during the class and show you the proper disassembly, the proper cleaning of it, the proper reassembly, and how to maintain it going forward. So that's, if you're more of a hands-on guy rather than a, you know, instructional tutorial, come on, sign up for one of those classes. But you can certainly use YouTube as your best friend for that. You know, there's plenty of videos out there. And if you Google or even YouTube the model you have, it'll show you the exact takedown. There's a lot of people putting great content out there all the time for that type of thing. So yeah, you got a good gun and you're going to be happy with it going forward, and just keep it clean and you'll be in good shape. So, all right, Tom, you're next with Toby Leary here filling in for Grace Curley. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you today?
Doing great, thanks.
Listen, I just got a quick question. I'm new to guns, and I went to the gun store, and there's all sorts of shells and bullets and different types of things for like a 9mm. And I don't know what they're for, what they're used for, so I don't know really what to buy.
Sure. That's a great question. And so if you're going to buy a gun for defensive purposes, you want to have good defensive ammunition. So that's the difference. You can ask the gun store. They'll be happy to help you with that nuance. And you hear the music, so we'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Now we're live here at the Aviva Trattoria studio. Sorry about that. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary, and you're listening to the Grace Curley Show, and I'm the fill-in guest host. And I'm so happy 978 texted back in to say, no, I don't mean to be mean. We like you too. So I'm like, all right, cool. So at least she's getting something from the show today, or whoever that was. I don't know if it's a woman or a man. So anyway, but they were hoping for Holly Robichard, so I hate to disappoint. But anyway, hopefully I'm not disappointing. But let's go back to the calls. Ron, you're next with Toby Leary on the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Toby. Just a quick correction. You were talking a few minutes ago about saying the Second Amendment is the only one that we have to go through hoops with the police and being banned from doing things like going to church. Go back to Charlie Parker in March and April of 2020, and the churches got closed down.
Yes, you're right about that. And
so as they're trying to take away our gun rights with the Second Amendment, the next one is the First Amendment.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I stand corrected. But I will say that they don't make you, you know, jump through hoops to in order to go in the first place, as far as getting licensed and have your fingerprints taken, your photographs taken, pay a fee every 5 years in order to go back to church. You know what I mean? So that's the point I was making. I'm not saying that there aren't attempts on restricting our other enumerated rights. There certainly is. But you can put that kind of equation into any of those enumerated rights. The Fourth Amendment, you know, unlawful search and seizure of your house. If you, the only way you were going to be able to claim the right to, you know, unreasonable searches and seizures is if you go to this class and you take and pay a fee and you get fingerprinted, photograph, background checked by two or three different agencies and wait 60, 80, 90, 120 days for that permit to come in. And in the meantime, they can come in whenever they want, say, open the drawers, open the cabinets, open the door, let me in, and I'm here to look for contraband or ghost guns or whatever else they want to do. We could really tie this
all together. Assault Bibles.
Yes, the assault Bibles. There's definitely a joke to be had there, especially in some of those Amish communities with their unpermitted, unregistered horse wagons, you know.
Maybe horses with reins, even.
Yes, horses with reins. Now, the Border Patrol, for crying out loud, can't even use horses. Because apparently some reins got a little close to someone trying to walk across the Del Rio into Del Rio. And as he's reaching for him, the reins like hung down a little close, and it appeared that he was whipping him. And it's been worse than slavery, is what one of the politicians is calling now. Worse than slavery. Okay. So anyway, sorry, I digress here. Sometimes I get down a rabbit trail. But Gene, you're next with Toby Leary on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Gene.
Hi, Toby. Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
I'm a former Mass resident. I moved to New Hampshire last February, and I got my gun permit up here, my husband and I. Mm-hmm. And we want to get our Massachusetts permit. Now, we took classes up here. We took the training and everything. You know, filled out the paperwork for the permit and sent in our certificates. Will we have to do any kind of tests or anything in Massachusetts?
You won't have to do the test, but if the person you took the class with is not registered with the state police, then you might have to take a class that by somebody who is registered with the state police to give the Massachusetts class. And ironically, it's really the same exact class you probably took in New Hampshire, but whether they accept the certificate or not, you might want to check before you drive down to Chelsea for your in-person hearing at the Department of Public Safety. So I would just double check, but there's lots of people down here in Massachusetts that do it, and also people up in New Hampshire that give the class that is accepted for Massachusetts. So, but yeah, we'd love to have you be a good New Hampshire resident that can carry a gun in Massachusetts. I believe that, you know, more guns in good, responsible people's hands make us all safer. And The other thing is you're going to have to bring your ammunition with you, because as a non-resident, even if you have a license to carry in the state, you won't be able to buy ammunition here in this state, unbelievably. But I had some folks in the shop from, and thanks for the call, Gene. I appreciate, first women caller of the day. That was great. Let's, come on, women, light up the lines. No, I'm just kidding. If you want to, great. If not, text in. You can text to Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y, 63566. Text Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 63566, or give us a call at 844-500-4242. And so, you know, I had someone in the shop, like I was saying, from Pennsylvania, and he was just loving the fact that we had product on the shelves. And he's like, oh, this is great. I'm going to buy some ammo before I go. And I had to break it to him and let him down gently and say, I hate to say it, but I'm happy to sell it to you, but I got to ship it to you. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what do you mean? I can't buy ammo? And he's looking at me like I am in a different country. And I said, I'm sorry, but I can't sell you ammo. And he's like, I can legally own a gun in my state. And I said, I get it. I get it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pack it up and ship it down to you. Just tell us when you want it shipped and we'll take care of you. But it was unbelievable. And I feel like an idiot sometimes having to explain that to somebody, especially somebody from New Hampshire who goes through the trouble to jump through all the hoops to get their license to carry in the state of Massachusetts as a non-resident. And then they can't even come to the store and buy a single box of ammunition. They're carrying a loaded firearm concealed, but yet they can't buy a gun, buy some ammo. You can definitely buy it at a shooting event, or if you come to the range and want to shoot and whatnot, you can do that. So that's fine, but you just can't leave with it. That's the way it goes, you know, unfortunately. So someone's asking if I'm sticking around to do Police Blotter Facts Friday. That would be a hoot, but I didn't prepare for that segment of the show, so I probably wouldn't be doing it. So anyway, another texter says, hey, I'm a great fill-in. Nice to slide into something else. All right, thank you. If guns are so American, here's a really good question. This is one of those things that make you go, If guns are so American, why do they use the metric system? That is a rhetorical question. I don't know. Maybe it makes sense compared to like caliber, which is sometimes like, you know, the diameter of the bullet for the most part, but not always. Like a .357 bullet is .358 caliber, and a .38 is .358. So it's not, they just round it up or down and get us close, but you never know. But I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe because we buy a lot of commie guns, like 7.62x39, buy a lot of like AK stuff. Maybe that's a good reason it's in commie metric system. I don't know. I don't think the metric system's commie, though. It's just probably a system that makes a little bit more sense, but we are stuck in our ways here in America, and I wouldn't want to go to the metric system now, but it's confusing. Very confusing. You get big numbers for little sizes and stuff. It's just weird. Anyway, Toby, I moved from Connecticut to Arizona in 2019. Best move ever. And Arizona is a constitutional carry state. I also have an Arizona concealed carry permit, so I can carry in 38 states. I have a Glock 44. Can I carry in Massachusetts if I visit? Sadly, no. Not unless you jump through the hoops to become a non-resident licensed to carry holder. So nope, we have reciprocity with all of zero states. So we don't recognize any other state's permit, unfortunately, and hopefully that'll change someday. You never know. Like, there's talk a lot about, you know, reciprocity, national reciprocity, but at what expense? I don't know what that would ultimately look like, but if there was a way to do it, that would be cool, and it makes sense. So anyway, let's go back to the calls. Karen, you're next with Toby Leary on the Grace Curley Show.
Hi. I have a question. I inherited guns at the time of the death from the individual that was living in my house. They were confiscated by the police department, and I was told by the police department that I cannot have someone with a license pick them up for me, and I don't have a license. So is that true, that I cannot do that until I get licensed?
That's a good question. I know that's the case if it's like a domestic, you know, like a restraining order that a friend with a license can't pick them up. I don't know about on inheritance, but for sure you could have a local gun shop pick them up. So you could contact a local gun shop and they could pick them up. I'm not sure about a friend or somebody else who has a license. That's a good question. I'll have to defer to counsel on that one. I wouldn't want to give you bad advice. But that would be where I would start is just get the license yourself, you know, spend the $100 and take the class and then spend another $100 and do the work that it takes to exercise your constitutional right. And then once you have them, you can do what you want with them. But that would be where I'd start. I know it'll take some time. Hopefully the police will hold it for you, but sometimes they go to a bonded warehouse and you got to pay storage fees and all that good stuff. But give us a call if you need some help with that at Cape Gunworks. We'd be happy to help you out. But thanks for that, Karen. Andrew, you're next with Toby at Grace Curley Show.
Good afternoon. I recently saw this question. I didn't see the answer to it. If I'm carrying my concealed weapon and my shirt moves or I lift my arms up and someone sees it and they get all flustered and I don't know, call the authorities or something. I mean, I'm legally carrying, but what if someone gets upset? What do you do?
Yeah. So if you're not brandishing the weapon in a threatening manner, you're all set. Like if somebody just sees a gun and they are uncomfortable around guns and they call the police, there's really no harm, no foul. But if you're brandishing it in a threatening manner, you could definitely get in trouble, but not for some inadvertent, you know, no, you're fine. You're totally fine. So I wouldn't worry about that. Yeah, but that's a question we get a lot as well. And Sarah, let's go to another female caller today on the Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby sitting in for Grace. How are you, Sarah?
Good. How are you, Toby?
Good.
So I just bought a Mossberg 500 12-gauge shotgun. I plan on doing my hunter safety class. I haven't done it yet, but I was just wondering for ammo, what you would recommend for home defense.
Yeah, so it's a good choice for home defense. Shotguns are very effective at that. And my hat's off to you for jumping into the mix and wanting to take the hunter safety. If my personal favorite for home defense with a shotgun in a Mossberg 500 would be to get the Opsol, O-P-S-O-L mini clip. It's a little adapter that goes into the magazine well of the gun. And then you could use these. Aguila makes them and Federal makes them. They're a mini shell. It's an 1¾-inch shell instead of 2¾. And you can get them in buckshot or slugs, but they're a reduced power load. Great for home defense. Will reduce the overall penetration of those loads going through multiple layers of drywall, which buckshot tends to keep going. So I would want to take something off it a little bit. And if you can't find those mini shells, because they've been extremely difficult to get lately, then you could always use like a number 4 birdshot or a number 6 birdshot or a number 1 buckshot or something, just to reduce the amount of travel through walls. And if you live alone and it's not a big deal, then I'd load it up with double-aught buck. But if you get buckshot in those mini clips, you'll be in good shape. The mini clip, the Opsol mini clip, and the mini shells, you'll be in good shape. So, all right, we're going to go to Larry here. From Salem, New Hampshire. Go ahead. Salem, Mass, excuse me. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, Todd, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate you taking the time to do this. I had someone come up to me at the club 2 weeks ago and tell me we had a castle law. I knew nothing about that. I didn't believe it. I looked it up, 278-8A, and then day before yesterday, I had someone tell me they got rid of it, and I can't find any evidence of that. So I'm curious, what do you know about that?
I have not heard that castle doctrine has gone away or castle law has gone away. Thanks for the call, Larry. That's a good question. And what that refers to is that you don't have a duty to retreat when you're inside the home. It used to be that like you had to retreat to a barricade position and then like you're in the basement and someone was coming down the basement. You had to try and climb out the little basement vent window and, you know, you had to exhaust every possible avenue of egress before you could defend yourself with a firearm. Well, fortunately, that's no longer the law in Massachusetts. We do have a castle law that says, you know, you don't have a duty to retreat within the home. Obviously, it might make sense to retreat if you are in the home and you have the ability to do so. Like if somebody's bashing through your door and you're sitting in the kitchen and you have the time to go to your barricade position and arm yourself and get 911 on the phone and wait for the authorities to properly respond to the threat, that's a win-win in my opinion. So, you know, there it brings up the conversation of should versus could. So think about that, should versus could. All right, we will be back after this. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Toby Leary. Don't go away.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
All right, welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, and I'm joined now by the big man himself, the 10% for the big guy, Howie Carr. So, Howie, thanks for letting me come in and guest host with Grace. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, thank you, Toby. Good job. You've done well. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. So it's always easy to talk guns, and sometimes we'll swim in the deep end of the pool and kind of pretend like I do this for a living, but I don't. Although I kind of do. I mean, I talk a lot. But anyway, so what are you going to be talking about today?
I think we'll be talking about the new Cuomo scandal and the fact that the Biden administration has finally found someone to be angry at the border. Cops. Of course, it's cops and horses.
Right.
So, you know, they've got their priorities in order, as always. And there was a disastrous appearance today by Cacklin Kamala Harris on The View.
Oh, yeah.
Just a total screw up. Yeah, again, proving how ridiculous these tests are. You know, they're testing positive, then they're testing negative, and it's just, it's such clown show material. The state police of Massachusetts, by the way, a Charlie Parker judge threw out their attempt to postpone the vaccination requirement till next month, and so that's going on. There's a story from New York State. They're going to have shortages of nurses, you know, as soon as this goes on. And yesterday, Rhode Island extended the deadline for healthcare workers to get it because they know what a problem it's going to be in Rhode Island. I mean, no one seems to care about this.
Mm. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked are you that there's another Cuomo sex scandal?
Well, I knew it was coming. I was just wondering. We'd heard about this a couple of months ago that they had it pretty much dead to rights at Fox News, but the guy was holding off on it just because he didn't feel like hurting Cuomo's kids. But I guess the woman just got tired of waiting, so she went to the New York Times and dropped a bomb on him today. I mean, it's the same day. This was when he was at ABC News, and the same day that this scandal breaks, ABC News announces that they are not going to have an independent investigation of the sexual harassment charges against George Stephanopoulos' producer. So Disney is very woke, you know. They're very transgender at Disney World and Disneyland, and, you know, they can't have the Song of the South anymore. But when it comes to investigating sexual harassment by their white privileged male anchors, they're not going to touch that.
It's the typical double standard, you know, where the rules for thee and not for me, right?
Exactly. That's the motto of the Democrat Party.
Oh man. Well, thanks for having me, Howie.
And thanks. I'll do it again. Thanks for coming in. Yep.